Joshua chapter number 24 in your Bibles this morning. Joshua chapter number 24 in your Bibles this morning. Joshua chapter number 24 in your Bibles this morning. Notice there in verse number 14. By the way, let me just say this by way of introduction. If this sermon is no good, please forgive me. I wrote it at 2:30 in the morning Thursday night, all right? So I was sitting in the Pittsburgh airport, so I look at my notes and there's like four rows of Q's, you know. That must have been where I fell asleep at. And I was preaching, those of you that are visiting, I was preaching camp this week up in the middle part of Pennsylvania, and flew into Pittsburgh, preached over there. Thursday night, I got done preaching, and I was, like I said, about 2.5 hours away from the airport, and my flight left Friday morning at 5:50 in the morning. And you know, if you know anything about camp, you don't sleep. And the beds are awful, and it's just no rest for the weary. So I'm like, do I sleep here at the camp till like 2 in the morning and then leave? Or what do? You know? And so I decided at 11 o'clock I left and drove to the airport and just hung out at the airport. And it was awesome, you know, me and a couple other guys, you know, just sitting there looking at each other, trying to stay awake, you know. And then I fell asleep on the plane, so my neck, if I look, you know, if I'm cranky this morning, that's the reason why, all right? If I hit point number three, it's Q, 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 Q. You know, that's where I was sleeping for like 3 minutes, all right? So, but anyway, I'm glad to be here this morning. Glad you're here. Joshua chapter number 24 in your Bibles this morning. And notice there in verse number 14, the Bible says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods." Father, I pray this morning that you would use this message in our lives. Father, for one that is on that brink of going away from you, I pray that your Holy Spirit would bring about conviction. God, I pray that they would make the choice to serve you in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we talked about Joshua chapter number 23. Joshua, the man of God, has come to the end of his ministry. And the Bible says here in Joshua 24 that he's 110 years old. That is an old man, all right? That is a man that not only is old in age, but he's a man that is wise and experienced. He has seen God do some wonderful things. He has the war stories to tell. And in Joshua chapter number 23, Joshua gathered the leaders together, and he encouraged them as leaders to be the men and the ladies that God had called them to be. But as we come to Joshua chapter number 24, Joshua has now called for the whole congregation. All the 12 tribes are called together. They're called to assemble, and Joshua begins to remind them of all the things that God had done for them. And you read in Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 1, and you go all the way to verse 13, and he rehashes all the victories. Then he talks about how God led them out of Egypt, and how God delivered them from slavery, and that Red Sea was parted, and the Egyptians were killed in that Red Sea as the waters came crashing down upon them. He reminded them of the wilderness and wanderings, and how the generation that rebelled against God died in the wilderness. And after 40 years of wandering, God said, "All right, now it's time for you, this generation, to go do what God's called you to do." And then God parted that Jordan River, and he told them the story about Jericho, and rehashed how the walls went tumbling down, and he reminded them of the consequences with Achan and living in sin and being disobedient and trying to hide your sin. And he reminded them of the victories with Ai, and he reminded them of the campaign in the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom, and he reminded them how God had given them a land in which they did not labor for. He gave them cities that they did not build. He gave them farms that they did not labor to establish. Hey, God gave them a land that flowed with milk and honey. And truly, as Joshua was reflecting on all that God had done, the people would have to agree with Joshua that truly the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Hey, they would look back and they would say, man, God's a good God, and God's a loving loving God. He's a gracious God. He's compassionate. His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You know, I'm so thankful this morning that I can look back at the victories of my life. I can look back as a 32-year-old preacher, and I can see what God has done in and through my life. And I'm like Joshua. I sure am thankful for how good God has been to me. And if you be honest with yourself, boy, many of you, you could look back and you could see where God saved you. Just like they were rescued from Egypt, man, you can look back at that day when God saved you out of that miry pit of sin, and how He put your feet upon a solid rock and established your going. You can look back and say, preacher, I'm not the man I used to be. Thank God I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Friend, I'm so thankful for what God has done in the past. And yet as Joshua comes to Joshua chapter number 24 and verse number 14, he makes that statement, now therefore. He says, now we're at the present day. Now we're where the rubber meets the road. I've just rehashed for, you know, all these years of serving God, all these years of battles, all these years of God moving and working in a wonderful way. Now he says it's time for us to do business with God and to meet with God. He says, now therefore, today. And boy, I mentioned it in Sunday school, child of God, you're the one that makes the choice to walk with God. You've got to personalize it. You've got to make the decision. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to witness for God. You're the one that has to own that decision. You've got to make that personal choice in your life to walk with Almighty God. And Joshua said to the people, he said, listen, I've been a tremendous leader. God has moved and worked in the 110 years of my life. But he said, now you've got a choice to make. You've got a decision to make. It is time for this generation to rise up and do something for God. As I was preaching to these teenagers this past week at camp, well, I told them, I said, you know, every high school in the middle part of Pennsylvania deserves a teenager on fire for God. Let me say this, church, every city in America deserves an independent, Bible-believing Baptist church that is standing for God, that's not compromising on the precepts of God's Word. Hey, every place that you work deserves to have a man of God and a lady of God making a difference for God. Our communities deserve a sold-out Christian for God. And Joshua said to the people, he said, listen, it's now, it's your time, it's high time that we awake out of our sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. He says, now therefore, here's what you need to do. But look at verse number 15. He gives the charge in verse 14, and we're going to go back and highlight that. But I want you to notice here, I put here the unique statement. Look at verse 15. He said, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. I look at that statement in verse number 15, if it seem evil to serve the Lord. Let me just say this morning by way of introduction, it is not evil to serve the Lord. We live in a day and time in a culture where Bible preaching is mocked and made fun of. We live in a day and time where righteousness used to exalt a nation, but now sin is a reproach to any people, but sin is exalted and righteousness is put down. Man, you turn on the news and what a joke. What a joke in both of our politicians that are running for the White House. Both of them you look at their lives, it's a mess. And yet, what are they? They're exalted. And boy, you know, look at all, listen, we live in a day and time where godly preachers and godly Christians and godly people are mocked and made fun of. Why? Because they believe in traditional marriage, where God stands. Because they're anti, you know, murdering millions of babies. We're for life. We're not for abortion. Because of our stand where we believe that the Word of God ought to be exalted and God, a walk with God is so important. Because we preach against alcohol. Because down the list we could go, we're against pornography. And we're against the Hollywood crowd. And we're against, and I'm talking about, man, we live in a day and time where we are the right-wing crazy fanatics, right? And those that are living for sin, man, they're the ones that are patted on the back. They're the ones that are worshiped. They're the ones, you look at the Hollywood harlots, man. I thought about, you know, the people that we should, that the generation before would have been, you know, looked at and, boy, you know, frowned upon. Now they're the ones that, boy, everybody's looking to. We live in a day and time where the world calls serving the Lord evil. And Joshua looked at the people and he said, if it seemed evil on you to serve the Lord. And I asked myself the question, why would he make that unique statement? Why would Joshua say, if it seem evil? Because we know we're to serve the Lord. The Bible says we're to serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. The Bible says that we are to serve the Lord with gladness, not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. God expects all of us to serve Him. But why would He make that unique statement? Because look in verse number 14, Joshua begins to preach this final farewell sermon. He said, now therefore, notice, he said, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Why would it seem evil for somebody here at Huntsville Bible Baptist Church to serve the Lord? I'll tell you why it would seem evil for the congregation to serve the Lord in their eyes, because number one, notice, there were those that did not fear the Savior. You see that? He said in verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord. You know, that should be an obvious. That should be obvious. You know, when it comes to, you know, what makes sense as a believer, it would make sense to fear a holy God. But you know, we live in a day and time where God's people don't fear God. We don't hold Him in that awe and respect. Why do we do what we do? Because we really don't fear the Savior. Where our eyes are fixed on our own sin instead of being fixed upon a holy God. I think about right now in heaven. What are the seraphims doing in heaven? They're crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. There's those archangels that just keep repeating, holy, 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 holy. They're proclaiming the holiness of God. They're proclaiming the goodness of God. The saints in heaven are singing, thou art worthy. Worthy is a lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. It would seem obvious and logical for someone to follow the Lord, and yet the reality is there are many that look at Christianity and say it's crazy to follow God. Why? Because they don't truly fear the Savior. It says in Proverbs 1 verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy in the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, to fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Job 28:28, and unto man He said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Psalm 33 verse 8, let all the earth fear the Lord, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Proverbs 3:7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Psalm 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding of all they that do His commandments is praise endureth forever. What does God expect from me? God expects me to fear Him. And by the way, there's fear and there's respect that go hand in hand. I remember when I was in school, I was fearful of Mr. Fuller. You say, well, actually his name was Coach Fuller, but I called him Mr. Fuller, right? I was fearful of Mr. Fuller. You say, why, Pastor? Because he was mean. I remember back in the day when they used to spank in school? You know, I'm talking about back in the old days. I remember there was a girl by the name of Robin in my class, and Coach Fuller spanked her. And I don't remember what she did, but she did something. And I remember everybody's like, ooh, Robin just got a spanking from the principal, got paddled. And I'm like, I mean, here I am, you know, very formidable years, and I'm scared of Mr. Fuller, right? I don't want to get a spanking, right? That was not biblical fear. What was I was scared of the consequences. You know, the Bible says that we ought to stand in awe and sin not. We ought to have God in such a high place in our life. We ought to regard Him with so much love, and that you know, we don't want to hurt Him. We don't want to walk away from His commandments. We want to walk with Him. It is obvious that one should fear God, but obviously there are many people, there are many Christians that sadly are walking away from God, and they're not fearing Him. I wonder this morning, where's God in your life? You say, well, I love Jesus Christ. I love all that He's done for me. He gave me a home in heaven, took away my sin. I don't have to go and suffer in hell. I wonder, does that fear motivate you to live for Him? I wonder, do you truly love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Because you know, you can have fear, but if you don't have love, man, that fear, it's only going to last for so long. Why did He make that statement, only fear the Lord? Because there were so many that had lost that awe and respect of God. They hurt, and by the way, I think about that generation that was in the promised land. They didn't get to, many of them did not get to experience all the victories that the previous generation had. And there was a second and a third generation of Israelites that were freed from Egypt. And you know what they were doing? They were just coasting. Let me just say to all of you that have godly parents and grandparents, shame on you if you just coast through and you don't own your walk with God. I'll tell you what, you read about David, a man after God's own heart. You read about Solomon, his son. What did Solomon do? He sinned because he did not seek God with all of his heart. What did Solomon's son, the third generation of Rehoboam, do? He apostatized, walked away from God, had nothing to do with God. Why? Because he was a third generation Christian that did not own his walk with God. Hey, you better come to the place in your life where you love God, not because your parents made you, because you love God just because it's not, you know, it's not the church's requirement. But you better come to a place in your life where you say, I love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I want to serve Him. I'm going to seek Him. You say, why do we have a lukewarm church? Why are we stagnant in our country and as churches? I'll tell you why. Because we are piggybacking off the last generation. And we don't have a real, intimate walk with God. Hey, Joshua, this old, aged preacher, this man of God says to this congregation, he says, listen, for some of you it's evil to serve the Lord. Why? Because you've not come to the place in your life where today, now therefore you fear the Savior. I wonder, do you fear Him today? Number one, why would He make a statement like that? Because there were those that did not fear the Savior. It's obvious that we should serve the Lord, but there were so many Christians that were oblivious to that reality. Why did He make the statement? Because they did not fear the Savior. But notice second of all there in verse 14. He said, now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Number two, why did He make that statement? Because there were those that were faking their service. He said, serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. That word sincerity is a wonderful, wonderful, really just a wonderful illustration of what my faith ought to be. Real. Not fake, not a facade, but the real thing. I'm wondering this morning, are you faking your service? I think about my uncle. He told me the story couple years ago about going to New York City to meet an old friend of grandpa's. Yeah, my dad, my uncles, they grew up in Newington, Connecticut, right outside of Hartford, and New York City was about 100 miles away. And so you didn't take 2 hours back in the old days. Now they got highways and everything. Now it takes 3 hours with the highways. But, you know, they decided they were going to go to New York City, and they were going to meet a man by the name of Basil Jones. Basil Jones worked with my grandpa with Stanley Tools, and Basil not only had a good job, but Basil had extra money that would come in from family inheritance, a wealthy, wealthy individual. And my uncle and my grandpa, they made their way down to New York City, and they were going to meet at this diner. They were going to have a wonderful meal together, and they got there before Basil got there, and they're standing out there waiting for Basil Jones to come and pull him in the parking lot. And my uncle said, all of a sudden, he said, I looked in the driveway, and here comes a brand new Jaguar. That year model, I'm talking about brand new, awesome looking, cool paint job. I mean, just a wonderful looking Jaguar. Money like crazy to buy one. And man, that car drives by, and they look inside, and man, they see Basil Jones sitting behind the wheel. Basil parks the vehicle. My uncle at the time was driving. He said, I went over there, and he said, I looked at that. I mean, you could see the drool coming down his chin, just in awe and in love with that brand new Jaguar. And he looked at Basil, and he said, Basil, you must love that vehicle. That's an awesome vehicle. My uncle looked at me. He said, Steve, he said, I'll never forget the words out of Basil Jones' mouth. He said, I hate this Jaguar. Floored my uncle. Why in the world would you hate this vehicle? Brand new, you know, this year's model. Why would you hate this brand new Jaguar? He said, because everything about it's been a lemon. Remember, now they have lemon laws? But back then, they didn't have the lemon laws in place. He said, I bought this brand new off the floor. He said, I started driving it. 2 weeks later, I went back in. The engine blew. I had to get a brand new engine put in. He said, I got back after it was in the shop, started driving it again. He said, a month later, the transmission went. He said, the next, I got it out of the shop. He said, I kept on driving it after that was fixed. And he just started to mention all the things that went wrong with that vehicle. He looked at my uncle. He said, Steve, he said, this vehicle, though it looks good on the outside, is a lemon. What was he saying? He was saying, you know what? I don't have a sincere car. It advertises brand new. Look how shiny it is. Look at the paint job. Look at the Jaguar on the front. Look at the status about that. But the reality is under the engine, it was a fraud. It was a messed up vehicle. And I'm afraid that there are many of God's people that sit in the church that claim to have a walk with God. On the outside, they're painted beautifully. On the outside, they sing the songs. On the outside, they talk the talk. But you pop the hood, and what are you finding? You're finding a messed up engine. You're finding a messed up transmission. You're finding the parts are falling off. Why? Because you can paint the outside, but boy, the inside is what really matters. You know, I wonder this morning, child of God, are you real? Are you the real thing? Are we playing the game? Listen, the world has enough phonies. Everybody's trying to impress each other. Listen, let's just be real. You know what? The world's not going to love us. The Bible says that friendship with the world is enmity with God. The Bible says that we're the children of the light, not the children of the darkness. We're called out. Listen, let's just get real. Let's be sincere in our walk with God. Why did he make that statement? Because there were those that did not fear the Savior. There were those that were fake in service. God has called each and every one of us to serve the Lord. We have been called to minister. We have been called to use our gifts and our talents in the local church for God's glory and for God's honor. And by the way, thank God there are many of you that are doing that. But God wants us all to serve the Lord. I think about how God found Elisha. Before Elisha was ever the prophet, before he was ever a mighty man of God, he was a farmer that was working in his father's field, taking care of his father's crops. And Elijah, the man of God, passed by and he threw that mantle upon him. Where did God find Elisha? He found him as a worker, serving, doing the job he had been called to do. Hey, David, before he was ever the king, before he was ever the sweet psalmist of Israel, was a young man, the youngest in the family, that was taking care of his father's sheep, the lowliest job on the totem pole. That's like being a garbage collector or cleaning toilets for a living. Man, he's taking care of the sheep. God found David being faithful in the little things, and God promoted him to be leader over all of the nation of Israel. We need help here in our church. We need folks that are going to go soul winning. We need folks that are going to gather and pray. We need folks that are going to sing. We need folks that are going to clean. We need folks that are going to be involved in nursery. We need folks that are going to jump in and serve the Lord. I wonder, are you an individual that's serving the Lord, or are you just putting on a show, talking the talk, but not walking the walk? Why did he make the statement, serve the Lord in sincerity and truth? Because of the call of service. But what's the charge about our service? We must be sincere and real. We must be put on the real thing. I wonder today, are you real? Or are you putting on the show? Why did he make that unique statement in verse 15? If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, because number one, there were those that did not fear the Savior. Number two, there were those that were fake in their service. Notice lastly there in verse 14, he says, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. Why would he make that statement? If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. Because lastly, thirdly and lastly, there were those that were focused on their sin. You see what he says? He says, put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. Let me just say this, that they were enslaved to their sin instead of yielding to God. What were they doing? They were focused upon the gods of the land, the gods of the Egyptians. And notice, you see there in verse 14, and the gods on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. Let me just say this. Dad and mom had dropped the ball. Why would this third generation serve the gods of the Egyptians? God said in Exodus that they were not even to mention the gods of the heathen. They were to go into Israel, and they were to destroy the altars. They were to throw down everything. They were supposed to tear it all up. They were supposed to be yielded completely to Jehovah God. But why was there a generation that was serving the other gods of the land, the gods before the flood, the gods of Egypt? I'll tell you why. Because there was a mom and dad that dropped the ball. There were grandparents that dropped the ball. Hey, remember, remind your dad, mom, grandma, and grandpa, we are setting the course for our kids' future. Hey, the things you do, the things that I do, it will affect the next generation. I wonder, are you an individual that sits around and talks about sin? That watches sin? I was making a visit Friday night when I got back and went to a guy's house. And man, he's just, you know, playing a bloody war video game. And I'm like, man, he's playing it. And he was going to work on my car. And there he is. You know talking about some of those bloody games? And here's a little kid sitting around, they're watching daddy. They're watching their dad as he's displaying, you know, all these things. And I'm thinking, man, you are going to ruin the next generation by you and your attitude and what you're involved with. I wonder this morning, Christian, what are we involved with? What are we teaching the next generation? You know, are you sitting in front of the television and watching R-rated movies? Are you watching PG-13 movies? Are you watching stuff where they take God's name in vain? Was immorality? I wonder, Dad, I wonder, Mom, what conversations are you involved with? My wife and I mean, we got to make sure if we're going to gossip about you guys that we got to do it when nobody else is around, you know? And you know what I'm saying? You know what we don't want to do is here's what I don't want. I don't want my kids to look at a dad and look at a mom and say, you know what? Bunch of hypocrites. They preach one thing and they do another. I want them to look at me and say, you know what? Hey, dad may not have been all that, but you know, he was at least right with his walk with God. I don't want them to say, oh, these were dad's sins that he was secretly involved with. These are the things dad was, no. I want them to be able to see a dad that's sold out for God. Can I ask you this morning, are you focused on sin? Your sin habit will have a negative effect upon the next generation. I was talking to a preacher friend of mine about generational sin. And the Bible talks about with Saul, how there was a familiar spirit that came upon Saul. The familiar spirit really is a family sin that Saul was involved with. You know what I have found? I have found in as I have counseled and as I have observed people, I found that, you know what? What we do, as they say in, you know, just a little bit, our kids will do in excess. So let me just say this. You say, well, it's okay, all right, the previous generation, well, we'll go ahead and get some dirty magazines. Oh, no big deal. You know what this generation's doing? Hey, we're full-blown addicted to it. You know, the previous generation said, you know what, we'll just, you know, we'll go to church Sunday morning and Sunday night, but we'll skip Wednesday prayer meeting. And what's this generation doing? They're not even going to church at all. What's the previous generation say? Well, you know what, we'll just compromise and cave in. And what's this generation doing now? Forget it, they're completely left. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying there are many that are focused on sin instead of focused upon serving the Lord. The fathers served the gods on the other side of the flood, and Joshua said to the people, he said, listen, it's about time we get real. It's about time we stop putting on a facade. It's about time we stop playing the game. It's about time that we sell out for God. So can I ask you this morning, Christian, where are you at? If Joshua, an old preacher of God's word, were to come here today, and he were to stand up and he would make that statement, if it seem evil, to serve the Lord, would you have to say, you know what, it's evil to serve the Lord in my life because I'm faking my service, because I don't fear the Savior, because I'm focused on sin? Hey, wherever you're at this morning, Christian, as he said in verse 14, verse first two words, now, therefore. Today is a day to sell out for God. I wonder today, will you forsake your sin? Will you forsake the things that are holding you back from serving God? And will you serve Him in sincerity and in truth? Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer this morning. Father, thank you for your word today. Lord, I preached what you gave me.